Now it says record, but okay. Yeah, it's recording. Okay, awesome. Okay. 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 Thank you so much, Pumbaa. Thank you. See you later. Bye.
Are you a business?
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Members, ladies and gentlemen, can you settle? And then to meet the Anthony man. Anthony man, and then to meet the gentleman. Pull on. So call the jab. Honorable, I know. Honorable members, ladies and gentlemen, can we start our meeting? We have the agenda in front of us, and those are the items on today's agenda. But we will not be receiving. Okay, are you caught up? Okay, this is the agenda for today, and if members have anything to add or subtract from the agenda, I'm giving you an opportunity to do that. But if you feel that the agenda is okay, you can propose for the acceptance of the agenda. Honorable Mashango is moving that we accept the agenda as is. Honorable members? Honorable Makondo? is seconding that, is the acceptance of the agenda. I would like to welcome you, honorable members and officials from the AG's office, to this important meeting. The meeting with the AG's office is very important for us, and we take it seriously as this portfolio committee. From the onset, when we arrived here, our activities were based on the outcomes of the AG on the department, and that has been guiding us. The information that we are getting from the AG's office has been guiding us on the work that we're doing. Because during the first year, we actually focused on those institutions that had performed badly. We faced, that's what we did. We took those institutions, because as you can remember, ladies and gentlemen, honorable members, 80% of the budget of this department is transferred to entities. And we made a conscious decision as the portfolio committee that is where we are going to focus during this five-year term. We are going to focus on the 80% of the budget. And we found it really funny that the department did not take the unit that deals with 80% of the budget seriously, because it only had two or three people. And we were saying, how can you have 80% of the budget overseen by two people, three people, with 27 entities? In fact, when we came here, it was 28, it was 27. The figure changes every day. Sometimes it's 28, sometimes it's 27, sometimes it's 26. So we're saying, how can two or three people oversee 80% of the budget with so many entities? And we are overseeing that area in the department seriously. We are taking that area seriously, that they need to ensure that they capacitate the unit, not just having people, but having people who qualify to do the job, because we think that is very important. And we are sometimes, as the portfolio committee, we feel really discouraged, because you go into an entity, you do your level best to ask, because oversight is about asking the right questions. And this is what we do. We go into an entity, we ask the right questions, and we hope that the department is listening to the questions and the responses. And we really, sometimes we just feel that we are the fruits of our sweat. We don't see the fruits of the work that we're doing, because if you come here in 2014 with pencils on your radar screen, in 2017 you're still having the same on your radar screen. It has not improved, then you have a problem. If you go to PACOF and you do all what you can do, the best that you can do, to ensure that this institution performs and this institution delivers on its mandate. And you have to go back there next year, and you go back until 2019, you know, to one institution. As the portfolio committee, we feel that something has to be done. Something has to give. I don't know what that is, for these institutions to do what they are supposed to do. Because ours is not just to go there and do oversight. There should be some change. There should be some change in this institution. Be that as it may, we are going to give OAG's office an opportunity to present to us. And as you may be aware, that we could not have our meeting, JL and myself, with the AG's office before today, but I did have an opportunity to, over the phone, to listen to the side of the AG, how they have, the process that they have engaged in. And we had a useful conversation. And what I also said was that we would appreciate it as the committee if the AG's office would not only focus on the department, if they would also sample, because we know they have a lot of work to do, but just to sample on the entities, to have a sample on the entities. I was telling them that when we first came here, it was the portfolio committee that sent back APPs that were from entities that were not aligned to what the department is doing. So we had to send back as the portfolio committee. What is the work of the department if we are going to do that? So we have told the department that it's totally unacceptable that now we tend to do their job, because ours is an oversight function. But we had that useful conversation, and they are going to present. And what I like, whenever we meet with the AG's office, is that some of the issues that they point out are the issues that the committee has identified as well. So I will now give over to them to do the presentation. Over to you, AG.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think we are grateful for this opportunity as AGS as well to come and give you some of the insights, or even share some of, you know, what sits with the entities in the department that we own of this portfolio. We've prepared a presentation. I think initially there was a presentation sent to you, and then, you know, our big bosses saw that there were some few things they wanted to add to the presentation, so we had to revise ones as well on Friday, but the core information that we had initially sent to you is still within the presentation, even with more other insight of other information. Chair, I'd like to begin with my presentation. And then with the second slide, obviously. Project effect. I think this is our reputation promise as AGSA. And then, like you say, we exist to strengthen our country's democracy, you know, by enabling oversight, accountability, and governance. And it's one of those key roles that we do play. That's why we are here. Like you say, we did review the APP specifically of the department. And we're just here to share some of those outcomes that we had based on that. Then the next slide is just a summary of what you would find within our presentation. Now, the overview of the whole process. This is a planning process, reporting process, you know, and all of that. Of the performance information. If you look at it, oversight and policy development sits within the body that we are in today, to say that's where you are. And everything else, which is our strategic planning, our operational planning, budget, in-year monitoring, and end-of-year reporting, sits mostly with our entities and our departments. Just as a process to say, how do we then look at our performance information in totality? Obviously, the Sustainable Goals Development, which is our initial document or initial plan. Then we move to the NDP. Then from the NDP, the medium-term strategic framework. Annual performance plans as done by the department, and therefore those ones are drawn down to our indicators and targets within entities and the department. And as well, just to provide a fuller picture of the value chain approach in the planning and auditing, if you look at, we have number 1 up until to number 9, And I think within this portfolio, we sit right at the end, which is number 9. The South Africa remains a divided society. And then this comes directly from our NDP and MTSF. Just once again, as a process, I think we came with this slide last year in October when we were doing the BRRR process. This is just a general audit outcomes, just to say this is how they looked like as at last year. And in the next slide as well that follows after it is just now giving the details to say which entities were what. Obviously, the green meaning they were unqualified with no matters on performance information or compliance. The yellow, financially unqualified with matters in performance information or compliance. Purple is qualified with findings. The other light purple is adverse with findings, and the other one is disclaimer of findings. The details are in the second slide for you. And I think the key or the critical slide is this one, and this is also based on last year's audit outcomes to say this is how performance information for this portfolio looked like as in when we were finalizing the BRRR process last year. To say we had for usefulness of performance information, for 2014-15, 22% of them were not useful, for 15%, for 2015-16, 50% were not useful. That 15% represent 4 entities specifically who did not have, who were not useful. And I think there, that's where this today's process actually lies in. Because what we do the proactive reviews of the APP, of the department, of the entities, so that we just have an early warning process where we come in before they table and submit to you to say, but this is not smart because it doesn't meet, you know, this criteria from the review that we do. And then an opportunity is given to the department to go correct that before that's tabled. So if we come to the next financial year, or when we report to the next financial year, so in this instance, it's 17-18, we could avoid that 15% block where we could end up with green. And that is why the proactive review of the APP. Okay. Just so we say why we do, like I've already said, this is an early warning process where we assess the indicators and the targets for the measurability and relevance of it within the department. And then this is not the detailed audit like we would perform. Like now for 16-17, we're going to do a detailed audit on each one of these usefulness. At this point, we're just using the documents that the department has given us, meetings that we have, and whatever they have at hand. Because at that time, it's not yet a final process. There's a possibility that at final process, the results could be different. And then this is only based, or the review is based on the selection of specific programs. In the department's instance, what we've done, we've taken the 2 key programs that we know we're going to audit in the next financial year, because we don't audit all the programs sitting within the department. And then the reason why we take those key, because we feel that they're the most significant, and if matters come there, or if matters are resolved within there, there's a chance that everything else sitting within the APP could be resolved. So in this instance, I think we have program 3 and program 4 for the department. Okay, the process we followed for this one, we just use the strategic plans and the APPs they've given us. We assess the measurability and the relevance of the indicators and targets for the department. We reported those to management, had discussion. Management, where they could, they went and made changes. You'll see later on, we'll highlight to say, where have they made changes, where they didn't make changes for us. This will not impact the audit outcome in the current financial year because this relates to next year's financial year. Process we followed, does the APP align to the MTSF? We did do a high level of that. Are the indicators relevant and complete? the logic link between the objectives, indicators, and targets, and therefore we flow to our target smart and realistic, the adequate human resource and financial available to achieve our ATPs, and how will the ATP be achieved, and down to the monitoring of it, how will this be done, is the process that they're going to do, review the annual chief against ATP that will come in only later. Therefore, now we're going to do 16-17, and next day we'll do the 17-18. And review and track the changes to the strategic plan and annual performance plan. We'll also do reports on the last paragraph that we have there. This is just some of the criteria we use in this 17-18 ATP to say indicators, are they well defined? We went based on what they have on the technical data description and what they have on the strategic plans and the ATPs to say, are your indicators clear? Are your indicators in such a way that it cannot be interpreted in another way? So we assess those four indicators of those two programs for the department. Are your indicators verifiable? Are we able to follow through to what you have done at the end of the day? Are your targets specific, measurable, and time-bound? And as well, we do look at the relevance to say, is this what is part of the mandate of the entity? So what we've done as well was to say, after our conversation with the chair, to say, at the high level, for the entities that are within the portfolio, we haven't done the ATP review, but we did a high-level review of looking at the APP and then just seeing to say, is it linking to what they have in the ENE and what is sitting in the planning documents of the department. The specific review that we've done is of the department. So even on the entities, we only selected those ones who could access their APPs at that time, and then only a few, I think it was six, and the seventh one would be the department where we have full detailed findings for you. I think I'll give over to my colleague to take us through the key findings or key outcomes of the review.
Thank you. As you can see there, we have done a strategic alignment. Basically, we looked at the National Development Plan, which is Chapter 15, where we are responsible for social cohesion and nation building. We looked at the MTSF, which is outcome 14, where we are responsible for the four outcomes that we have outlined there, which is fostering constitutional values, fostering a social impact, and equal opportunities and interest. Basically, we then linked those outcomes to the programs of the department. So you can see fostering constitutional values, we linked it to program 4, we linked the second one to program 3 and 4, and then fostering social compact with linked it to program 2. Like Nelisiwe has indicated, we looked at six entities as well where we did a high-level alignment. The entities are PENSAS, National Library, National Heritage Council, South African Resource Agency, State Theatre, and the Indigo Museum. Basically, for these entities, it's just a high-level review. The audit will be conducted in the 2017-18 financial year. We are still on the department. Basically, what we've done here is we looked at the objectives as per the ENE for the 2017-18 financial year to see what treasury will be giving the department money based on. Then we looked at the indicators and targets that the department have for that specific financial year to say, if treasury is telling you that they will be giving you money for the number of flagship events supported, do you have that in your APP? Is it included in your APP? We looked at program 3, then those are all the indicators as indicated then that National Treasury has given the department money based on that they must do. So all the indicators have been included there. And then on program 4, we have a specific indicator there for the feasibility study of the Liberation Museum. When we looked at the department's APP, we could not see how the department is going to achieve this, or what are they planning for them to achieve this in the 2017-18? Because this is the target that we have in the medium-term strategic framework, which is chapter 14. The next one that we have was the number of school kids which have been distributed to the schools. So basically here we just want to highlight to say in the medium-term strategic framework, which is outcome 14, the indicator is saying the department should be distributing the toolkits directly to the schools. However, what we have in the department's APP in the 2017-18 financial year is that the department will be distributing this to the district office of the Department of Education. I think just to highlight as well to say, in the previous financial year, the department was qualified on this specific indicator because we didn't get supporting evidence to say, if you say you have distributed to the schools, what do we have as evidence to say they have acknowledged or somehow we are satisfied that this has been indeed delivered to our schools? So basically they had a qualification on that. I think in the current financial year they said no, we'll distribute to the Department of Education. Department of Education will take them straight to the schools. But when we look at the MTSS specifically, it says to the schools, but they are doing it jointly with the Department of Education. I think on the next one is the number of library materials provided. We have this target in the ENP, which is the estimate of national expenditure. However, we don't have this target in the department's APP. That's why we have it as red. So basically red means we don't have, amber means it's there, but it's something we have to know. Just on a high level, like we said on the entities, we looked at PenSouth as well. Basically, we looked at the ENE for 2017-18. What will National Treasury be giving this entity money based on? So basically, it's the promotion of official languages. And then we looked at their APP. These are some of the indicators that they say they'll be doing in order for them to promote official languages in South Africa. We also looked at National Library of South Africa. National Library of South Africa is responsible for providing access to information. Then we looked at their APP to say on a high level, do you have indicators and targets that will enable you to achieve these key objectives that you have in the ENE? So those are some of the indicators and targets that they have in their 2017-18 APP. The same will apply to National Heritage Council. South African State Theatre and the Ezekiel Museum. This is the overview of key findings based on the review that we did for the department only. Just for the members' information, like we already indicated that we scoped in Program 3 and Program 4. Basically, the factors that we consider is this a program a primary mandate of the entity? Is it a requirement of law? Does it have an impact on the general well-being of the public? So if it meets one of the criteria, the program will definitely be scoped in for audit in the next financial year. Just to give members comfort as well, internal audit for the department also looked at Program 1 and Program 2 of the APP, while we looked at Program 3 and Program 4 for the 2017-18 financial year. The review was done on the second draft that we received on the 17th of January. Basically, some of the challenges that we had on the APP was that our indicators were not well-defined, our targets were not specific and measurable. Some of the indicators were not verifiable when we look at the technical indicator description and the meetings that we had with management. We had discrepancies between the numbers in the annual targets, quarterly targets, and in some instances, the listing that they provided us. In some instances, the technical indicator descriptions were not completed. And then we had one, a finding where the indicator was in the MTSF but not included in the department's APP. On a high level, we looked at program 3, which had 18 indicators. 11 of them were saying the indicators were not well defined and targets were not specific. We have 7 that have been corrected. 4 are still not corrected. On program 4, 10 were not specific and well defined. 10 were corrected. On the targets not being measurable, we had 8 for program 3, and then 4 were corrected, 4 still not corrected. On program 4, we had 3, and then 3 has been corrected. On the alignment as well between annual quarterly targets, as well as the listing provided by management, all the discrepancies have been corrected. Okay, here there's this one indicator that we have in the medium-term strategic framework, which is not included in the department's APP or any of the entities to assist them in achieving this indicator. So we're just highlighting it there as well. Just a few matters to note to say we have 2 new indicators. They are under program 4, which is 1 consolidated report on heritage infrastructure as well as the legislative framework. There was also revision done on the strategic objectives of the entity. Basically, it's still the same thing. They just shortened the definitions. This has also been included as an annexure on the APP for the 17-18 financial year. On a high level, this is the budget that the department is getting, so it's comparison between the current year, which is 2016-17, and 2017-18. I think on program 1, the error should be facing up there. It's an increase, not a decrease. It's a 6% increase. On a high level, this is the budget analysis. Like the chair has indicated, we have 80% on transfers and subsidies and 20% remaining for your compensation of employees, goods and services, and capital assets. On the next slide is just a high-level analysis of transfer and subsidies, where we see that 52% of our transfers and subsidies goes to our 26 entities, both on current and capital expenditure. Then we have 40%, which is our community library grant, where the department is doing upgrades of existing libraries, construction of new libraries, and providing new materials with conjunction with our departmental arts and culture entity. On a high level as well, this is what each entity is getting out of the total transfers and subsidies budget, of which the highest is the National Library of South Africa, followed by the Isigo Museum. The third one will be PENSARP and National Film and Video Foundation, and its own, the last one at 7%.
Like I said, Chairperson, as much as we were doing the APP review, there were just some matters within the portfolio that we thought they are matters for noting of this committee. I think this is the status of vacancies, which most of them I'm sure you are aware of. This was as of February, most of them, but some are still even the same even today. I think we had a meeting here on February the 14th as well, where we discussed the Club 103 matter. So this is just to give feedback of what has happened to date. And then from the discussions we've had, Treasury and the entities, is the fact that the funds have been made available from 1st of April to the entities. There's a steercom that has been formed by National Treasury that involves all the entities that are impacted by Grab 103 so that they can discuss this. DAC has always had a forum for CFOs, and I understand that the matter that talks to Grab 103 is one of the key matters that are being discussed in that forum as well. And I think we did an assessment and spoken to one or two of the entities. I think from where we're sitting, we're looking at the qualification might not go away in the current financial year based on the status that yes, funds have been made available, but there's still a process that needs to be followed. So the process, I'm meaning the assessment. Like take National Library, for instance, because we've been very close on their process and in trying to assist them on how they go about it, where they are still assessing, they're still defining their catalogs, you know, they're still trying to break it down to say, what is it that we have in our collection? And even in our collection, what is it that we can classify as a heritage asset? And then from there on, the register can start, can be made, and then maybe the values can be given to these assets. And I think the entity as well has admitted to say it's not a project that can take a year, can take 2 to 3 years, if not more, to resolve some of this. The other entities, maybe it might be easier. It could be something that's resolved within a year, but we stand to see. And we were hoping that we would give you a full impact before even we finalize the audit to say, how is it going to look? But we are close on the situation, and we are looking at the situation to say, let's try and resolve the matter at hand. And as well as the Office of the Auditor General, I think we have what we call our improved methodology. We just wanted to highlight to you because it will maybe impact how we even look at the picture, you know, sometimes when we come into this portfolio. I think what we've done, we've done a very robust process to try and improve our methodology just so we are able to add more value, you know, to the portfolio or to the industry as a whole as well. We're trying to bring in more of an integrated approach to say now let's link our financial information, performance information and compliance into one and let's not separate each one of them. And then we just have some of the benefits of this methodology we're going to have, you know, to say a more robust risk assessment, and as well we're trying to be more efficient where I think there's entity classification, there's like I would take your museum, most of our museums, we've classified them as small oddities, and then how we approach the audit of small oddities will be different than how we approach the department. Because if you look at the budgets and then even the activities, they are not the same. So the approach I take for the department cannot be the same like I take for the museum. And as well, to also just bring the gap between the two. Like on small audits and performance information, the opinion how will come out will be different from how we look at the department in totality. Like in the department, we'll be having a reasonable assurance, like, you know, an audit opinion issue for financial for performance. But whereas on small audits, it will be limited assurance because even the work we'll be doing that will be limited, you know. And then there's a specific reasoning behind that whole notion of why we're going to be doing like that. No. But it's some of the benefit that comes with us having taken through this process. The key improvement then as well, I think on the Graph 103, we say, you know, this committee, for those entities that we know have that, when they come into that quarterly, come into this committee, let it be something they report on the status where they are. And as well, we're trying to see that the funds that have been deployed in that process are actually used for the right process or even used for the process that will yield good results for us. Because you don't want a few years later down the line, money that has been given to entities, but the work that was supposed to be done with that money has not been done. So if this this committee could also as well monitor that process and as well filling of key vacancies within that. And then performance management as well to say, you know, for the department, and I know, Chair, because you raised some of the issues, that there are some discrepancies on what these entities do and what the mandate is and what the department is required to say. You know, monitoring as well is part of what you could do, which you already are doing anyway, but to say follow up on them, like on some of those key indicators or targets that they seem to have missed, so that we know how they are tracking them, so that we know how each department is supposed to report on them. I think that brings me to the end of my presentation, and then we'll take questions.
Thank you very much, and I think it's always a pleasure to listen to a presentation from the AG's office. And as the portfolio committee, as I said earlier, sometimes the issues that you raise are the issues that you have raised as well as the portfolio committee. And the appreciation of the fact that you not only look at the actual work of the department and how it has executed its mandate, but also to look at the planning stage, because it's very important to look at the planning, because what becomes an outcome, you know, is dependent on the process. So I think we really appreciate the fact that you come in early to say your target doesn't make sense, or, you know, all the things that you have mentioned. I would now like to give the honorable members an opportunity to ask questions and to make comments on this presentation. Just to say that I appreciate that after our conversation, you did go back and look, because I raised this with you, and you went on to look at some of the entities, which I think is very good, and your response is really highly appreciated. Honorable members, can we have questions and comments on the presentation? Honorable Masangu, Honorable Makondo, in that order.
Chair, thank you. I think we should appreciate the presentation by the AG's office. I have a few, I think three or four things that I'd like to learn. The first one has to do with the, just for my interest, on the slide 6, you've included the Millennium Development Goals. I assume those are the UN. Yes, they are the UN, because it's for the UN. Why? It would be interesting to know why you've decided to bring this into the picture. And the reason why I'm raising this matter is when the UN make those or set those goals, and we use our approach to almost try and attain those goals, and we know that in the recent past we actually have attained and overshoot some of the goals set by the UN, but you as the AG puts them there, an impression could be created that that's what we're aiming for, when in actual fact, our aim is further than what the UN, for instance, would set. And the second question that I would like to raise is just for me to understand how you would deal with this GRAP thing, especially when it comes to values, and I don't know what the main audit aspects you'd be looking at. I'm just raising this, and I don't know what is happening or what discussions are occurring within that fora of treasuries or CFOs because one of the biggest problems, well, it's good that assets would be known, but one of the biggest problems that would possibly face us, and I don't know how the AG's office will deal with it, are the issues of values. Look, if you have an artwork that is crafted or designed by artist X, and you do an assessment of that artwork, if the person is still alive, for instance, a good artwork, it could possibly be valued at 50,000 rand for him, for example. But immediately artist die, it shoots more than 1,000% up. And it continues to, the value continues to increase. Now, if, say, 2017, here is an asset, it's worth 50,000 rand. In the same year, the person dies, the asset shoots to 55 million. And a few years down the line, it goes to 25 million. And you do an assessment, you're going to say, this thing was undervalued. And that's a natural thing that happens, but is the AG's office going to be in a position in its auditing to appreciate that when it comes to, unlike the rest of the other, anything that else, you can talk about buildings, you can talk about all those, there is nothing that shoots higher than your art product, especially after the departure of the artist. That's why you have items that would have been valueless at whatever year, and you find them in multi-millions just after the artist has left. So will you be in a position to then deal with that thing? Because the likelihood you may have findings that this thing was actually undervalued. Yeah, I think that's one of the questions I would like to raise. The other question that I would like to raise is what the chairperson raised earlier on. In your audit, I mean, I don't know, I can't remember the word that you used, but towards the end of your presentation, you raised the issue that when you do the auditing of the department, you are going to, for a lack of a better word, do a much more comprehensive auditing and a limited one for the entities because the entities are smaller. Whereas you need to write, they are smaller in terms of each unit size, but if you take the totality of the small ones, then the issue that she was raising, that would constitute 80% of where the resources of the departments would go to. What is your take on what the chair had raised earlier on, and how do you think is what you are doing going to impact on the issues the chair raised? But I know it's almost a minute matter, but I think, but for our cause, as the chair has said, we are following the 80% because that's where the funds have gone to. So if the AG does almost, for lack of a better word, limited whatever thing, it is not working for us. It is not helping our oversight because a few steps down the line, we may have, if not sufficient attention is given to the 80%, because of what it is, for its perceived size, it actually would have huge impact in terms of the overall outcome, as it were. Chair, thank you for that.
Thank you, Honorable Mahlangu. Honorable Makonda.
Thanks, Chair. Again, mine was on what Honorable Mahlangu was saying, that at least the AG was supposed to meet us halfway in terms of your audit. If you cover a particular percentage on your work while our focus is on the entire 80% of the money that the department transfer to entities, and we'll request that at least you push far so that you help us to understand the whole situation of the money that is in this in this entity. The second issue that I want to talk to, it relates to the indicator and the target that are in the MTSF and not included in the strategic plan and APP. On your discussion with the department, what could be the explanation that they might have given you? Or what is the implication of the target that are not corrected in the APP of the department as when you are going to conduct your audit later this year? What could be the implication if such is not correct? Thanks.
Thank you very much, Honorable Makonda. And my question is linked to what he is asking and the comment that I made earlier, that the planning process is very important because the outcome depends on the planning. And if, as Honorable Makonda is saying, if during your planning phase you've not planned properly, then what is the product going to look like? Because a flawed planning process results into a flawed product. And also, the issue that you raised of the, I don't know how to put this, but your limited audit within the entities. As the portfolio committee, what we found, and we would like to share this with you, is that in some instances, there are entities that get a clean audit, but you find that there's misappropriation of funds within the entity. And this has taught us as the portfolio committee that a clean audit does not necessarily mean that all is well in an entity. So we do have those instances. And I don't know how we can be assisted, because even the information that we get is not the information that we get sitting in a meeting like this. It's information that we get from within, you know, the entity. So I don't know how we can be assured that a clean audit means just that it's clean. I know that it's not, you look at what they said they are going to do at the supporting documents and all that. That's what the AG's office look at. But as the committee, when we were talking about this, we were saying that if an entity or government department gets a clean audit from the AGSA, and tomorrow it's established that in that entity there was corruption that was taking place, then it also puts your integrity in a spot. Because how can they say that it's clean, but you find that there is corruption within? So we just want to share that with you as the portfolio committee. And when you are discussing within your organization and in your meetings, you can have, you know, you can talk about it and see how you can respond to some of the issues that are raised. I'm now going to give you an opportunity to respond if there are no more questions or comments, Honorable Members. Over to you.
Thanks, Chair. I think let me take the limited assurance approach and the noise and everyone. Maybe it caused a lot of confusion. Okay. It's not off, but I classified that. What we've done an exercise and using certain characteristics to identify which of those audits would be small audits. But even if it's small audits, it doesn't mean we don't audit. We just say the methodology is different how when we look at other audits. Not different, but slightly off how where we can see. Because let's be honest, the amount of time or amount of work I do for the department would not be the same for small actuary, you understand? And then even the audit fees, you know, when you say, because the budget for small actuary, it's so little, so that I can, so which is one of the reasons. So when I speak of the limited and the reasonable assurance, it doesn't mean there's no work being done on the limited. There'll be more work. We'll still come here and be able to tell you what is it that's done there. But the work is limited in such a way that it's concentrated on what is key and what is important in the city. Whereas with the department, we even have a pretty bigger scope. So that's the reason how the opinion we then bring them about will be a little different. And as well, we look at the indicators and the targets that are sitting with the entity. Do they, how much of it do contribute to the national indicators or the national outcomes that are required? You know, there's indicators like your national library. Those are very important, even pens up, you know, and then we cannot totally ignore them and say they're small audited, and therefore probably would be audited like the other ones, because even one carries them. But you find the small at gallery or some performing art kind of entity that do have, but they're not as material as the other indicators. So those are the kind of factors we take into consideration when we do assess what we classify as well. More work will be done, more insight will still be able to be given to this entity. You'll still be able to see the only difference will be the other one will be a limited assurance, the other one will be a reasonable assurance. Okay? I think the next question I had was the Club 103 issue. To say how are we then as AGSA are going to deal with the venues because they tend to fluctuate a lot. Okay. I think like any other aspect, how we look at it in committee action. Annually, the standard will specify how entities need to assert the venue. Most assets are required to at least go through a process annually to say, has there been any material changes of values, appreciation or even depreciation on their assets. So same will go for some of the heritage assets. To say it's not something that I want to this year and next year. But annually it's a small exercise that, you know, an exercise that's done by most entities, which most accountants know they're supposed to perform that exercise annually on all assets, whether heritage or non-heritage, to say they need to determine if, you know, the values are still the same. So same will be given for the approach of heritage assets. So if a painting was 500,000 last year, that's what it was worth last year. But there have been conditions that have changed in the current year that has made it 5 million. Therefore, they need to just account for the difference or the appreciation in the art. And then as well, how we audit it, that's how we look at it. We are not completely going to ignore the 80%. And I think we, meaning the 80% day where the budget goes, we're still going to look at it, and it's definitely still key. Like I said, we only going to classify a few that they are small audits because of the funding that's there and the work that needs to be done there. But work would still be done, we'll still be able to report to you, we'll still be giving you more insight, but now we'll concentrate more effort where it's needed, because if let's say we, I think on the entities, we picked up about four or five of key entities that receive the most money. And if I come and report on those key ones to you as well, it's as important, you know. But I'd still bring in the other small ones, but the key ones, we still look at them. The indicators that are not on the MCSS, or that are not included, then, I think By the time we're finalizing that, maybe let me let my colleague take that one for me, because he's the one who has the more discussion with management.
Okay, thank you. And on that one, the issue was that we looked at, you know, past performance, current performance, even 17, 18, but we couldn't get that specific indicator, and we referred to a certain entity where we looked at their APPs. Also, we couldn't get that specific indicator in that specific entity. So we concluded to say that indicator is not there, since why we cannot find it in the department's APP and also the that specific entity. I think the other question was that, what is the implication of those indicators and targets that have not been corrected in the 17-18 APPs? Basically, in the next financial year, when we audit, those indicators will have an issue on the usefulness of the information that has been provided to us. Basically, it will form part of the slide that we had. It will be part of the slide where we say it will form part of the 15% day to day. The information that we received in the APP was not useful. And also, it will also have an impact on the audit conclusion for 17-18.
Just to follow up, is the department aware? Did you tell the department that this is the situation? Are they aware that a finding will be made if they have something in the MTSF and that does not appear now? As AGSA, you'll make a finding out of that.
I think, Chair, what we've done was that we presented to management. We also had the opportunity to present to the audit committee of the department as well. So they should be aware of the findings, of the impact that it has. But also on the indicators that are not smart, I think we have specifically stated that in our engagement letter for the AGSA with the department, to say from 17-18 we'll be expressing a conclusion on this following matters. Should these matters not be in order, please note that this will affect your audit conclusion for the 17-18 financial year.
I think, Chair, well, I think based on our discussion, what we said is that we're going to select a few entities. So come for the 18-19 financial year, there'll be entities who will do the proper review that we did for the department. Mm-hmm. We will select and just communicate them. Obviously, we'll take the material ones, not all of them. To say at 26, could be too much. Yes. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. As I said earlier, it's always a pleasure to have you presenting to us, you know, giving us insight on the work of the department. And I also said that as the portfolio committee, the issues, I think from day one, from 2014, the issues that you raised are taken seriously by the committee, and these are issues that we actually look at, and we use them as a basis of our program. We use the your findings as the basis of our program, and the relationship that we have is really highly appreciated, and the relationship that you are having with the department is also appreciated, because you don't wait until they make a mistake and you audit, but you take them with you. And it is a pity that the department, while being taken on board, you identify that there are these 10 mistakes that you need to rectify, and they do their own thing. They rectify the number that they feel is good for them to do. And I think each department needs just to tell us what is happening. When things have been identified, they need to do what's best with all their might to ensure that they rectify whatever mistakes have been identified. But we really appreciate the relationship that we have with you, and we know that whenever we need your assistance, you are always there to assist us. We want to thank you very much. And you've given us the presentation, and it has, you know, we are well ahead of things that are happening, and we will engage the department about some of the issues that we have raised. And the issues that you are raising of things not well defined, to say if you're going to give support, what kind of support are you giving? Are you giving money? Are you giving training? What kind of support? These are the things that need to be clear. And if these things are cleared, they make our work easy as the oversight body, you know? Because if you don't tell us what you are going to do, exactly what you're going to do, how are we supposed to monitor and evaluate what you are going to do? We need to be specific, and this we have said to the department many a time, that for us to be able to do our work, be specific. Tell us exactly what you are going to do. And they have told us that it's Treasury, the template is from Treasury. And we're saying, no, we're not fighting with the template of Treasury. But as the portfolio committee, we want something that will make our job doable. Because you need to tell us, if you're saying you're going to have so many social cohesion conversations, community conversations, tell us where you are going to do this, how you are going to do this, so that when we are sitting there, we are able to say, okay, this is what they said they are going to do. They are doing it, and this is how they are doing it. So that we are clear. Everybody is clear. At the end of the day, there's no... We're not fighting about, but you didn't say you're going to do this here. It's clear from the onset. So I think that is what is important to us as the portfolio committee, just to gain clarity on what is going to be done and how it is going to be done, when it is going to be done, and by whom. That's all we need, Sina, so that we can be able to do our constitutional work, to deliver on our constitutional mandate, which is to oversee the work of the department and its entities. We would like to thank you very much. Okay, I'm going to
sorry for coming back on the next. Is it possible that we could be afforded that information, the Naval Page 37, Program 3, the unresolved, actually the indicators, the corrected one and the uncorrected one. Just, is it possible? If the chair were to be appointed, mm-hmm. that information, I think it will help us.
So basically it's corrected and uncorrected.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think what we have advised the department as well was that, can we maybe have the technical indicator description as part of the annexure? Because if you have it inside your APP, it's limiting you. You cannot say all the things that you want to say. Because our technical indicator description is our source of information, where we're supposed to get everything. So if it's not in the technical indicator description, we cannot really say whether it's there or not there. But basically on the 4 that has not been corrected was the number of public asks. There we're saying the kind of support is not specified. The Torium Venture supported, we say the kind of support is not specified. And then we had community centers financially supported, as well as the refurbishment financially supported. There our issue was that we couldn't get any listing. And then the technical indicator description did not say the process to be followed in appointing those beneficiaries. So basically that was our issue on the 4 that has not been corrected. But I think we'll send the chair a detail of corrected and what has not been corrected, maybe as well as management response and our conclusion as well.
Thank you. That would really assist us. That would really assist. But as I said earlier, thank you very much. And we're hoping that this relationship that we have is strengthened until 2019 when we leave this place. But we're having a healthy a relationship with the ACES office. So thank you very much. You are excused. Ladies and gentlemen, honorable members, we have a number of visitors in our midst, and as you know that today we are looking at the APPs. This is the first leg of looking into the APP of the Department of Arts, Culture and Heritage, and looking into the APPs of the entities, and as the portfolio committee that came in 2014, when we came in, we realized that 80% of the budget of the department goes to entities, and we took a decision to focus on the entities because the bulk of the money is transferred to entities. And this is our constitutional mandate, to oversee the department and its entities. We were now listening to Auditor General reporting, presenting to us the process that led to the production of the APP of the department. And we've listened to them and we've asked them questions, and now what we are going to do is to listen to the entities themselves that are going to present to us. And the first entity on our agenda is the National English Literary Museum that is going to do a presentation. But what we decided as the portfolio committee was that the department, when we first came in 2014, didn't seem to know exactly what was happening in entities. And we found it very, very strange that a department that gives money to entities is not sure of what the entities are doing. We found it very strange. And we took a decision that if an entity is going to present, we want the department to give us an overview of what is happening in that entity. In that way, we are forcing the department to understand what is happening in the entities. So this is what we are going to do even now. Before an entity presents, the department is going to give us an overview of what the entity, of how the entity is functioning. In that way, as I have said, we are forcing the department to follow the money that it transfers to entities. As the portfolio committee, what we have been saying all along is that people who are working in entities are people who are sometimes giving of themselves. These are people who are giving. They are giving of themselves. They are giving their skills. They are giving their resources. They are giving everything to ensure that the entities work very well. And sometimes this can be a thankless job where you do your best and you get kicked in the teeth. But be that as it may, we always applaud people who are working in entities because we know that if you are working in an entity, it's like you are giving to the community. And this is why we are applauding the people working in entities, because they are giving to the community, and that is very important. We are now going to give over, and when people are presenting, we would really appreciate it if they introduce themselves first, and we will introduce ourselves and as we get the presentation. Let me start by introducing myself. I am Xoliswa Tom, the chairperson of this portfolio committee on arts, culture, and heritage. Thank you.
My name is Chabu Mashangu. I'm a member of the committee.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Mark Chavatsoledi. I'm the member of the committee.
Good morning. My name is Tantan. I'm the member of the portfolio committee.
Alan Frodo, member of the committee.
Winston Rabutafi, member of the committee.
My name is Thomas McGordon, member of the committee.
Thank you very much, honorable members. These are the members of this portfolio committee, and members who are committed to the work that they're doing. And as the portfolio committee, we always say that it's never about the portfolio committee. It's never about people sitting in this room, but it's about the people that we are serving. So we will give over to the presenters of the National English Literary Museum.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee. Kelebogile Sithibelo, the DDG responsible for entities in the Department of Arts and Culture. I am with the member of the executive management for NELEM. The director is here, and the executive manager, and one of the council members who we got communicated that she will be doing the presentation on behalf of the chair of the council. So this is the team that is here from NELEM. Chair, if you allow me.
Can they introduce themselves?
Chair, I'm Ike and Bido, council member.
Demali.
Morning, I am Zolezile Machoba, Manager of Education and Public Programs at NELEM.
Good morning, Jay. I'm Saul Malan, the CFO at NELEM.
Good morning, Chair. I'm Beverly Thomas, the Director of NELEM.
You are most welcome. We are seeing you for the first time in the Portfolio Committee. And there's nothing to fear. People, when they talk about the portfolio committee, it's like you're going to, I don't know where. This is, no, we're not going to guillotine you. We don't have a guillotine machine here. But you are welcome. We're just a structure that is, well, that has a mandate of ensuring that you account for the money that you get. So don't be afraid of us. We are just people, and you just do your presentation. We ask questions. We ask questions based on your presentation, but you can ask anything outside the presentation. And we always appeal to people not to take things personally. Don't take anything personally. If we ask hard questions, we're not asking because it's you. We're asking because we really want to know. So in this committee, in this space, don't take anything personally. We're just asking questions because we want to understand. That's it. We want to make us understand. so that we make other people understand. This is what we always say, to say, as the portfolio committee, we need to convince other people. So you need to convince us so that we convince other people. And especially when it comes to budget, convince us, then we are able to stand there in the National Assembly and say, give this department so much, pass the budget. Because if we are not convinced, we cannot convince other people. That's it. It's as simple as that. Over to you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'm going to go through the overview of NLM. This is a performance share as at the third quarter of 2016-17. We are still receiving all the reports for the fourth quarter and we're consolidating them. But for NLM, as at the third quarter, they had achieved 54% of their targets and 46% had not been achieved, because we look at the APP and we monitor what is in the APP. And this is just true. What they have achieved over 3 years, we'll go back and compare the third quarter of 2013-14 and 14-15 and 15-16 with the current quarter. In 2013-14, at the third quarter, at the time, they were at 85%. 14-15, they were at 80%. A year before, the previous financial year, at 74%, but in December, they were at 54%, so they regressed a bit. So usually we go back and ask, why has the entity regressed? In terms of the income and expenditure trends, they've received a government grant of 2.3 million. Their own income is 102. They are in the positive. They were in the positive at the third quarter. They still had 164. But if you look last year, they were in the red, and the year before, in terms of the, they were in the deficit in terms of funding. We know that entities will always tell us that, you know, they don't have enough budget. And in terms of the audit outcomes, they were qualified in 2013-14, and in 14-15 they were qualified with funding, and also in 15-16 most of our entities, especially libraries and museums, those were entities that were qualified because of GREP 103. And in terms of governance, we also look at the council and whether they've got those other governance structures, and whether the council is functional, whether meetings are happening, and whether they've got also the audit committees, and also whether management also meets with staff. So for 16-17, we still have the 7 council members. They had 2 council meetings at the end of the quarter, and the number of council committee meetings, there was 1. The attendance rate is at 65%. Number of audit committee meetings that happened were 2, and they had not had management meetings, and the number of staff meetings were 3. And then these are the issues for noting. In terms of the audit issues for noting, the audit fees, we are saying the entity has an ongoing litigation by the Auditor General concerning the outstanding audit fees. And this, we are saying, in terms of data, it is still ongoing. Entity will provide detailed feedback in their presentation. And then in terms of their mandate as the NLM, we are saying the entity is in the process to align its mandate following the opening of a new building and the directives of the department. We are saying the entity is working on a business plan for the expansion of the mandate. The business plan will be submitted to the department. And also one of the issues was the name change process. The change of mandate requires a name change, since the museum will also accommodate other languages because it's also in the Eastern Cape. Maybe the Xhosa should also be one of the languages. That's what the minister has directed, that the Xhosa must be one of the languages that is, you know, accommodated in the entity. And the entity has begun a process of public participation to this effect. And they will also update the portfolio committee in their presentation.
and the council term it expires on the 30th November this year, we have commenced with the process to reconstitute the new council. We've already submitted the submission to Minister to appoint the panel member. In terms of governance issues, we are saying the working relations between council and management, this emanated after two council members incurred irregular expenditure, which happened during the time of travel to the meeting. And this was recorded in the 2015 annual report, and it created tensions between council and management. Just to give background, that one of the council members was supposed to return a hired car on Friday, but the car was only returned on Monday with high mileage. So, and it, you know, we had to pay extra costs. That was fruitless and wasteful expenditure that could have been avoided. And also that there was a lack of cohesiveness among council members. Then the director requested intervention, and the department intervened on the matter and attended a meeting between management and council where this matter was discussed. In the council, it transpired that the council dealt with the matter and the expenditure was condoned. And also, we are saying the department intervened and held a meeting with council to deal with challenges faced by the council. It appears that the tensions that has existed have ever since been eased a bit. So those are some of the issues that we wanted to just indicate and to bring to the portfolio committee. But we've also looked at their APP for alignment with that of the department. But I think the chair of the council will then take us through the presentation of the APP. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Madam. Shall we then take the presentation by the entity itself? Wanted to. Do members want to ask any question on the presentation by the DDG? Madam?
Thank you, Chairperson. It is just a small question coming, just taking it from the comment from the DDG. She said that the entity always say that they don't have a budget. I just want to check what is the view, what is their view as a department concerning that issue. Because if you can, you can also see a slide that talks about the fees on the Auditor General. It shows you that there are litigation because the entity does not have, I would assume, funding to pay for the audit fees. It's an ongoing thing. So now the department is saying, the entity says they do not have a budget. What is their view? Because they are the ones that are looking at whatever is happening within the entity. What is their view concerning the issue?
Any other member? Any other member? No question. Madam, you're on the floor.
Thanks for the question, Honourable Member. What we've done now, we are looking at all the entities and we are looking at the funding of the entities because the way they are funded, some of them it's because of, you know, the funding is what was based in the past. So we are taking a snapshot of all the funding and we are aligning the funding to the mandate of the entity, and also to look at the current structure of the entity. So we are saying we need to look at the funding of all our entities and rationalize funding and align it, the funding, to the mandate of the department. So this is the exercise that we are currently busy with, Chair, so that we can then come up with an appropriate funding model for our entities. So, but we've already started the engagement. But what we did also, we got a BASA, the Business at South Africa, to look at governance issues, but they even went further and they looked at the funding model as part of funding to say the way the structures are the governance issues are handled by various entities are so different. Then they also went and said the way the entities are funded, it leaves much to be desired because there are discrepancies. if you are very vocal, you receive money, and if you are a big entity, even now, I mean, the State Theatre has just written to us to say, in terms of their funding, they have a huge infrastructure, but the number of people working there, they have, they don't have a lot of people like in the past, but the building, the structure that they are occupying, really, they do not need some of the offices that they are occupying. So we are taking that into cognizance. Pardon?
They need the building,
but not that massive building.
There
are offices that are not occupied. They've actually even rented them out to other people who are running production companies as they come to the Market Theatre. Yes. But even their electricity bill goes to about $6 million per annum. So most of their costs go into electricity than into the actual productions and so forth. So we are taking stock of all the funding issues of entities, because the way they are allocated funding, it was first come, first serve. So it created a lot of tension. And it was also raised by the CEOs themselves in the CEO forum to say, let's sit and discuss the issue of funding of entities, because the way funding is allocated, it leaves so much to be desired. If I may use that word.
So the Narrowways, the department is agreeing that they are underfunding the entity, specifically on this one, because we are on this one that is on the table. We just want to get that point, which was my direct question. So if the entity is saying they are underfunded, the view of the department, because now it's a general statement that the CDG is saying, I wondered specifically on this one, that are you underfunded?
The funding for NELEM is not enough, Chair. So they are underfunded. They can do much more if they receive more funding, but they are underfunded.
I'm going to allow the entity to make their presentation.
Good morning, Chair, and everybody. Lady Chair. I'm going to start off with the strategic planning 2015-2019 annual performance plan of 2017 and 2018. First of all, we're going to present or speak to the council members. We are seven council members. Mr. Madaldra asked me to present, he's the chairperson, he asked me to come and present because all the others were unable to due to other comments previously organized. And then the management are all present here. Thank you guys for supporting me. And we have also indicated we were the director, the chief financial officer, the manager, duration, the territorial division, and education and public programs. Now we're going to have a look at all of these, the contents we're going to speak to, the background and The National English Literary Museum, which is NELM, was founded by a small collection of South African manuscripts by the late professor Gay Butler of Rhodes University in the 1960s. Butler assembled these manuscripts to present them these very precious information to leave the country. He was aware of the cultural poverty at the time of the lives of many South Africans, and he cared for all the people. He wanted everybody to have access to the literature, to theater and local history, and in order to enrich our lives. And that was the origin of NELM, very small place, which ended up in this massive, beautiful place that we're going to show you. NELM also has two satellite museums. The first one is the Eastern Star Gallery and the Shiraina House in Freyburg. And if we have a look at the Eastern Star Gallery, it was the very first local newspaper of the Grahamstown region, which was called the Grahamstown Journal. And it was founded in 1831. And it was the first one, especially, which was printed outside of Cape Town. And when we go back into history, we will see that the next one was in London, if you talk about the Eastern Cape side. But this one in Grahamstown was the first one. The building houses the Eastern Star Gallery and was purchased by the Star and donated to the National English Literary Museum in 1985 for the purpose of creating the Press Museum. It is still open to this day, and we get quite a lot of people attending it, especially school children and those from the colleges, not only in Grahamstown, but in the surrounds of the Eastern Cape. John Fairbairn, Thomas Tingle, and George Craig were the editors of the South African's first independent paper, the South African Commercial Advertiser. The Shriner House, as we know, Oliver Shriner was one of our most popular authors at that time, and her work is still being used today. She lived in the Shriner House with her siblings Theo, Etty, and Will from 1867 to 1870 in Craddock. And in 1980, the house was bought by AA Mutual Life Insurance Association. It was restored to the appearance it might have had when Shriner lived there with funds provided by the local town council. The property was donated to the National English Literary Museum and opened as a museum in 1986. The exhibitions explore Shriner's life and work and recognizes her significance as a writer, a feminist, and a champion of human rights. The local exhibitions in Craddock is not only for academics, but when I go there, I often see college people and high school people as well. What makes Oliver Shriner's house in Craddock so interesting is that what I observed personally, whenever there is something about our four people, with a sad but memorable, if I can use that word, history and ending, it's all put together and commemorated not only as one side, but together with the Oliver Shriner and any other things that is happening in Cato. And that shows me that my country is moving forward. The next is just to show you the outside of the house. Now, let's have a look at the strategic focus 2015 to 2019. At the time that we draft the strategic plan for 2015-2019, NELM was still in its old premises, and the old premises was opposite the old printer, the now printer museum, or adjacent to it on the same premises. And planning to move to the new building was then still in the minds of everybody, because we thought we would move, but at that time the building still needed some other things. People still needed to be prompted by that to finish their work, which was agreed upon. We were planning and developing content for exhibitions, and this would be the first time that the museum would have good exhibition space. We were also continuing with the station projects, both slowly, and building staff capacity to take on the expansion of the visitor and education services. When planning for the building commenced in 2010, the Department of Arts and Culture had decided to expand the scope of the museum to include the literature of the indigenous languages. Now, these in indigenous languages, if I say indigenous, let's start off with the Eastern Cape, where NELM is housed, and as the DDG already mentioned, that isiXhosa is one of the languages that also Afrikaans, but due to our work movement, we find that there's quite a lot of other of the 11 languages also moving in the area. But we are concentrating first, as we will speak to later on in the report, on the three languages, English, which is a proper, and Afrikaans, which are predominant in the Grahamstown region. And if I say the Grahamstown region, it's not only Grahamstown and the surrounds, it stretches to Mpumani and kind of Darkastad, all those other places as well, including King Williamstown. This is just a lovely shot to show you how the grounds were built for the new museum. Now, our vision is to be a leading museum dedicated to the collection, preservation, and promotion of South Africa's rich and diverse literary heritage. Some years back, the museum dropped English literary heritage from its vision in favor of a more inclusive one. And when we speak to our change in name, we will come back to this today. Our mission, the NELM, or this entity, will promote reading, storytelling, and literary research by providing access to its diverse collection, exhibition, and public programs. And Mr. Mashoba has already started years ago to make, to realize that in the various projects that he has in the region. The strategic outcome or orientated goal, the first one, is to manage the institution within the framework of sound corporate governance. And which are all aligned to our Department of Arts and Culture goals, which are an effective and efficient arts, culture, heritage sector, and profession and capacitated arts, culture, and heritage sector. We realize that NELM will soon be challenged to orientate the way it works and the way it serves the public when it relocates to the new purpose built, and we have already relocated, and we are already facing challenges, which are not really challenges, unsurmountable challenges. We are meeting them, and we have achieved most of them, as we will speak to. Nelum is embarking on a new phase in its recently completed purpose-built museum, and it's transforming its operations to take best advantage of these facilities. We will continue to nurture relationships that add value to the museum's program and increases their impact across society. And we can do that because Nelum isn't only there for the literature. The building has been planned in such a way that it can actually and realistically be used not only for scholars, but also for pupils and for students, doesn't matter which level, but for arts and culture as well. We've got a very beautiful auditorium which is functioning already, as we will see later. The second orientated goal is to be preeminent source of expertise in South Africa's literary heritage. And this is also in alignment with the Department of Arts and Culture goal, which is a transformed and productive arts, culture, and heritage sector. We at Nelum collect, preserve documents, and research South Africans' literary heritage. Because we must ensure that it practices the highest level of care in managing its collections and urgently addresses the issue of digitization for preservation as well as access, and that collaboration with similar literature and heritage institutions will enhance this goal. Now, some of our manuscripts, as we look at this goal, are very old, but we are fortunate that we've got humidifiers in place so as not to damage them. As if I can just divert a little bit to emphasize this point. Perhaps some of us have been to the Kunene Museum in KZN, and if you have not been, please go. You are missing a big part of our heritage. Now, the late Mr. Kunene left a lot, boxes and boxes of his writings there. But the humidifier came too late. And some of those writings are damaged, but not so that he, a person cannot see what he wrote, because he did most of his writing by hand. But most of them are damaged, and therefore, it might sound expensive when we report it, but it's worthwhile. Please don't forget Kunene, the housemate. And then the strategic outcome orientated goal number three is to promote the understanding and enjoyment of South Africa's literature. And this is also in alignment with the Department of Arts and Culture goals, as in transformed and productive arts, culture, and heritage sector. And it is also an integral and inclusive society. The richness of our diversity is an ideal medium for building the national identity and social cohesion. Nelum makes its collection accessible through exhibitions, education programs, and public events. The challenge is to make more people, especially children, aware of this national asset and to encourage reading for pleasure and writing as a means of creative expression. And the management at this entity has for years now been really, really focusing on that, especially the machine that's sitting next to me. That is the student project. And this goal statement, if I can bring your attention to it, has changed from being a challenge to a statement of intent. how our new building looks like. Now, our annual performance plan for 2017-2018. The first one is sound governance, and DDG has already started with that as well. We have committed ourselves to sound government and will continuously monitor our progress. Transformation continues to be an integral part of our sound governance framework. Some points were highlighted by the DDG, and since we are committed to sound governance, we have in the last few meetings made a commitment to our self-management and council members to openly address things so that it doesn't get to a point where we freeze up and not know how to talk to each other. The institutions occupy a strategic position in the collection of vaccines, and the richness and diversity of South African literature is an ideal medium for building a national identity and social cohesion. The entity will work towards making more people, especially children, aware of this national asset and encourage reading for pleasure and writing. Of considerable importance, this entity is a new building, as we have seen in the previous one. And the council has appointed a committee that is looking at the name change. Now, with your permission, DDG and Chair, speak to the name change now, then we don't have to repeat ourselves. The minister has for years asked us to please change the name, and we knew that we first had to overcome some issues within the entity, but we started when we had our strategic plan in 2016. We decided this was it, we were going to have a new name change now. So we had broken this road towards the final, the end of the name change up into several steps. The first one we discussed, and we decided we must have not only the council members involved, but also the management involved as well in this. And we proposed we formed a committee with a driver for the subcommittee for the name change. And we all flooded our proposed name to this person. And one of the things that we said with the name change, we were not going to have to look at politically inclined or suggestive names. We were not going to have politicians' names or whatever. We are going to have names which are true to our country without disrespecting anybody. But we are going to have names which will be more acceptable to our youth as well, because we can't deny the fact that the most bodies we want into the entity are young people, young adults, who will carry this form. And once we have given those names, we would then take it up to the public, broadcast it, send it out to the various places. We made a short list first, because we had a long list of things. We made a short list of the most appropriate names. This shortlist was then sent to various people throughout South Africa, not only to our district. We got
or the driver of the subcommittee got some feedback with our next meeting, which will be now in this month. We will then see which was the most popular. But even though I have some things reading the emails and the flowing of the communique amongst the members, that's an indication which is the most popular. Once we have chosen the most popular, we're then going to go to the public. Now, there is where our problem might come in, and that will be funding, because the public in my hometown, Eastern Cape, as we all know, is not only literate people, and we are not all living in cities and in a small villages. Most of us live in rural areas, sometimes in a town. So which means that we can't just make use of newspapers or radios or cell phones. We must also rely on by word of mouth. And it needs to go as far as possible within the surroundings of their families. We envisage that there might be some problems, but we also have a plan B, that if the finances are not enough, we will personally go to the various differences and areas, and some of our broadcast people, the SABC, the local museums, the radio center, to ask if we can do it. Because in some of the small areas, the people use their cell phones, but all do not get access to cell phones. But some have radios, because the battery operated radios are still very strong. So we need a community service for that as well. And once all that has been done, and the whole area knows about the name change, then only will we submit the claim to the minister and the DG and the president of the pleasure, because we will need pleasure. Thank you. The political the political involvement, the government program actions, and that's the nation building and social cohesion, the Department of Arts and Culture priorities is the challenges of racism. Can I ask do you have something that you want to add there?
You can just present, and at the end we will ask if any of the people from you.
And then there's the focus on Africa, the resistance and liberation heritage, the improving reporting and compliance. This annual performance plan is informed by outcome 14 of government program of action, nation building and social cohesion. The museum's activities will further support some of the departments of arts and culture priorities, the challenges of racism, the focus of Africa resistance and liberation heritage and improving and reporting on compliance, the performance delivery environment, the education, the occupied new building was in June 2016, the exhibitions will be completed or were completed in 2017, and the education programs was to create awareness about human rights and cultural diversity, contribute towards the national or the nation building and national identity, and to contribute to improving the quality of basic education. The education programs presented by Mellon, while based on South African literature, are also a vehicle for creating awareness about human rights and cultural diversity, and can contribute towards nation building
and national identity. The vast range of themes portrayed in the literature allows for the teaching of many subjects, including arts and culture, social studies, history and geography, and the sciences. These museum activities also contribute to improving the quality of basic education. In expanding its education services, this entity will focus on previously disadvantaged schools and schools in the rural areas of the Eastern Cape, but will also, through exhibitions and materials developed, strive to make a national impact. And as I previously said, it's not a new thing. Mr. Mashoba has been busy with it for some time. Environmental sustainability. The five-star Green Building Council of South Africa has the energy and water efficient. It is climate change resilient. It has low carbon economy, and it has also just 19. About 90% of the material used to build this new museum is eco-friendly material. The organizational environment, first is the Council of NELM, the directors. Obviously, we do know that above that is the minister, the deputy minister, that is also there. But we're talking enough. The personal assistant to the director, the chief financial officer, the manager, curator, division manager, education and property programs. And then we have the council clerk, the receptionist, and security guard, and under manager, the research curator, the chief registrar, and the librarians, and under the manager, education and public services, programs, the curator of exhibitions, the education officer, the curator Schreiner House, the graphic designer, and the educator and public programs. NELM's funded staff establishment is presented in this slide. The administrative staff of NELM are subject to considerable work pressure as a result of an ever-evolving compliance measure. Now, Chair, in our strategic session of 2016, we identified two priorities, having a look at this organizational environment of NELM and taking our two priorities into consideration. And that is the name change, because without the name change of NELM, we can't broaden our staff base. And when we talk about staff base, we identified the first person to be there, and that is a deputy financial officer who will also have the function of being able to assist with the various dimensions of our languages in public. At this point in time, the retrenchment of existing positions in other divisions is not a viable option to resource the administrative division, and the functions of the curatorial and education and public program division will be described in the objectives and indicators that follow. The medium-term framework is as shown there, and I think all of us have got our...
Yes, we do.
The total revenue for 2017 to 2020, if you look at that column, our total revenue we hope will be 11.9.
Okay.
The expenditure trend, as indicated in the slide as well, significant changes from previous budget include the additional allocation of the 2 million for the evaluation of heritage assets and the funds for transport and hospitality to assist disadvantaged schools from further afield to visit Nellis, development of traveling exhibitions and advertising and promotion. And the strategic objectives aligned to the Department of Arts and Culture is to ensure compliance in terms of the Cultural Institutional Act, to ensure compliance with the Occupational Act and Safety, Occupational Health and Safety Act, to develop skills and capacity in museum and support functions. Strategic objectives to build relationship with organizations with similar aims and objectives to NLM and to build public profile. And the objectives encompass partnerships and heritage promotions also relate to the Department of Arts and Culture objectives. Our strategic objectives is to collect documents and ensure the long-term preservation of liturgy, as already mentioned before, and to contribute to the body of knowledge of South Africa. And then the strategic objective is to present engaging exhibitions based on NLM's collections and associated knowledge, and to present educational and public programs that promote discovery, understanding, and enjoyment of South Africa literacy and cultural heritage. The indicators of target, some of this was already mentioned by the DDG. The number of partners, the partners events, she mentioned also. The target of expenditure is as a stance, and the research projects that were completed also took some of it. The arena. The indicated target expenditures was also touched on by the DDG. The Education and Public Program Division has the high expenditure in 2016-17 because of the funds allocated to exhibit context for the infrastructure and capital plan. An investigation of the services and output of Shwana shows that its public services could be improved by the addition of a new visitor reception area, shop parking, and improvement of the garden. The plan is to incorporate the life and work of Reverend Kalata and rebrand the museum as an institution. And the development will enhance the tourism package in Credo. And this entity's application in 2011 and again in 2013 to the Lottery Commission finally succeeded in 2016. And the development phase of the project is underway. The Auditor General versus NLM, the DDG has already spoken to this.
You can speak as well. We want to hear your voice on this.
The Section 23, 4, 5, and 6 of the Public Audit Act prescribe the procedure for the recovery of audit fees from auditees who are unable to pay for full fees charged. If audit fees exceed 1% of the total expenditure of the audit fee at National Treasury is of the view that the audit fee has financial difficulty to settle the cost, the excess must be defrayed from the National Treasury. The Auditor General alleges that for the period 2010 to 2015, Nellum has not paid any audit fees. Remember, this is a alleged plea. The amount outstanding is $2 million. The summons was issued to Nellum in March 2016. The entity has filed a notice to defend, and the matter is ongoing. On March 2016, this summons was issued. And following the Rule 37 a conference on 16 September, the Auditor General decided to name National Treasury as the third party. National Treasury, unfortunately, are also denying liability for the alleged debts, or fortunately for the state, and firstly, alleged debt amounts more than 3 years old as are described and cannot be claimed. This leaves a balance of 1.3 million. Secondly, if Section 23, 4, 5, and 6 of public orders are properly construed, the Auditor General should have notified National Treasury of the alleged debt, which they did not. They have further investigation revealed that for the period 2012 to 2015, National Treasury has paid the Auditor General a sum of 1.2 million. Because this entity does not acknowledge the debt, we refuse to raise it as payable in the annual financial statement, but did include it as contingent liability. Consequently, the audit concluded that contingent liabilities were incorrectly dispelled, trade and other payables and expenditures were understated, and that the accumulated surplus was overstated, which resulted in a qualified audit.
Thank you. We wanted to hear your voice on this one because it's very important. Thank you very much. And I think I gave you an opportunity to present fully because you're coming for the first time before the portfolio committee. So I gave you some time. I gave you extra time.
Thank you.
For you to present. Honorable members, I'm now giving you an opportunity to ask questions and make comments. I think when you were presenting, there was on page 16 where you said the challenge is to make more people, especially children, aware. And there was when you present before the portfolio committee, you need to be specific, as I said earlier, and you need to tell us exactly when you say there are challenges. We don't have to ask what is the challenge. Give us all the information so that time for questions is just limited. I think it's very important, but you later change to say it's a statement of intent. So I think it's important when you come before the portfolio committee, your document, you read through the document, it is quality check, is what is in the document, what we want to say. Because the minute the document lands here, it's a public property. It's public. So anybody now who reads this document will not have heard that you're selling the So you're saying now it's a statement of intent, it's not a challenge, it's a state. So it's important when you're coming to the portfolio committee to make sure that what is in the document is what you are actually saying. So that's very important. And also the issue of name change. I hope that the department was working with you this journey, because name change is the mandate of the department. The department is quite aware of the processes that have to be taken if you are engaged in name changing, and the different spheres of government that are involved in name change. So I'm hoping that if you have you want to say anything out of the things and comments and questions, you just note, because I'll only give you at the end when all the members have made their comments and asked questions. You just note so that you respond at the end, because name change is something that's very delicate, and if you can't escape politics if you talk name change, it's very political. So you can't separate this thing from political. It can't be apolitical. So you need to do the right thing, go through the process as determined, so that at the end of the day, you don't find yourself in trouble and you come out with a name, and it's only then that you go to the public and the public says, no, what do you say? Do you go back and start all over again? So the department should guide you on how to do this thing, because it's a very delicate matter, the issue of name change. And it has set processes so that at the end of the day, you come up with a product that is acceptable. And honorable member? Questions? Honorable Mahlangu, honorable Tuledi, honorable Makondo, honorable Rabutati, in that order.
Chair, thank you to the presentation. A few things that I'd like to raise. The first one is, I could see that the document that we got, I don't know whether it's Jabu who changed the date, or is it originally, because it was 2018, briefing on the 2nd May 2018, but I saw that in the slide, they have 2017. So if we did receive a 2018 slide presentation, it means that they will have to send the correct one, because, as you have said, this is a public document. In other words, it is a presentation for next year. The other matter that I would like to raise, Chair, is it's something, and as you've mentioned, that we are meeting this entity for the first time, and I actually find it a bit difficult to understand certain things. I think I am lost, and I think at the risk of sounding unwise, I don't know how I should deal with this thing. I understood your page 5. You see, the background where you raise the issue that when Professor Butler initiated this process, he was looking at this entity as a repository for South African literary manuscripts. But the mandate that you are following now seemed to be something else. And when we came to know this thing, and we always thought that it was a South African repository and not a localized thing for Grahamstown there, locally there, Eastern Cape, and so on and so on and so on. But when you were actually stressing your matters, you actually are very much localizing the entity, which is a bit of a problem. And what I then fail to understand, when you raise the issue of Afrikaans, for instance, as to how does this one then speak to the Afrikaans, Afrikaans Museum? What do you call that? Is an Afrikaans?
Afrikaans style
museum. How does this relate to the Afrikaans style museum, this initiative that you are taking? Because the Afrikaans style museum is looking at the Dal, all of it, in the country, and not where it is residing, here in Powell and wherever else. So I just find this English approach a bit problematic. I understand what the minister is saying about that. I fail to understand whether what you are doing is what the department actually is wanting to happen. Because if indeed you refer to language, I wouldn't expect you to be concentrating on your municipality of church or wherever else this thing is located. I would really expect you to be looking at the Xhosa language as it is. In the whole of the Eastern Cape, if that's the intention. What I also find interesting, Chair, is that, one question that I would like to raise and conclude. On page 23, you have those donations. Just for interest's sake, I'd like to know where you are getting your donations from and whether, as you receive them, do you follow the treasury procedure for receiving such. What I found interesting, Chair, was the whole issue that you've referred to of the name change, that actually, that name change, the inputs to the name change actually came from the staff, the first time that I've ever had a national entity funded by the public resource, I mean, in this case, the taxes of South Africa, that when the name is changed, it's all these people there, staff members of, I don't know how many there are there, 23 or 27 of them, and the board, agreeing or throwing names as to how this entity is. And it's a nicely guarded process within. You can see that they are even foreseeing problems when it goes to the public. I find it very strange. We can't support such an approach as the portfolio, not for a split second. It is us who pass the budget for the entity, and when you talk about the public, it has to be the public. Otherwise, it's going to face a constitutional test. It's going to face a constitutional test. If anyone takes that entity to task for whatever else, it's going to face a constitutional test. So you should have opened up, and the chair actually was making the question or asking the question whether the department has actually given guidance on the processes that have been followed, because the Department of Arts and Culture is actually the responsible department that deals with everything that has to do with name change. They are the repository of the geographic name change and your cadastral name changes and so on and so on and so on. But it looks like here it was just a family matter, you know, very internal, very cozy, intimate name changing arrangement. It doesn't go that way, madam. Now, Baba, I think the Ganja Lamati in Panjilang is never an asking as cost of that in Kopi, the Toshi when other procedure. I thought in the Tosha slab. Tosh. Umgela with the spring.
Oh, Kolo.
Kolo.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think, Chairperson, covered by yourself and Honorable Masangu here on the two issues, because I wanted to raise the issue of the name change really. I think it's a sentiment that all of us are feeling on when it comes to that. Actually, when you were explaining it, how you have done it, I really find it that you have done it the other way around. Mm-hmm. It's not supposed to be done like this. And unfortunately, Chairperson has said it enough that you can't run away from politics. Everything is politics. The price of bread is politics. The price of petrol is politics. Price of everything is politics. So there's no way that you say you want to avoid politics and everything that is around it, unfortunately. So I would also add my voice to say the department should really advise the entity on this issue, especially if you don't want to be faced with a lot of court actions. You are already in debt with Auditor General. You didn't want to get other debts because obviously once you have outlined the process, you need the public hearings, you need a lot of things. So people are going to object, others, it's unfortunate. It's worse if you don't follow the process. Follow the process to the latter. Yes, it's not everybody who is going to agree with the name that you are proposing. It doesn't matter whether that name is the name of a chief reverend or the name of a chief priest, but you will get objections, obviously. The second part is on the issue of the incorporation of the other languages, which is a very good move. On that, Chairperson, I wanted to say maybe they need to benchmark with the Africans Dal Museum in Bloemfontein, because already they've incorporated Sesotho within the institution, and I've been observing the process, and the process has gone smoothly for them to incorporate the other languages, although they are still moving. It's one language at a time, it's another one, until they'll get to a stage where perhaps all the languages within the geographical area. That's the first thing that they prioritize. They prioritize the geographical area where the museum is, but then they will move towards other areas, which are perhaps the whole of the country. So I would advise them to go and benchmark. Just learn from them how they have done it. Because it's one thing that we would want to see happening, transformation. You transform this institution. It's on the top of the agenda of this government. So we want that to move. It shouldn't be compromised at all. There should be a movement. You start with the languages that are in the area, and then you move outside your demarcation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Member. Honorable Makonda.
Thank you, Chair. Again, on the issue of name change, I think I agree with my two colleagues that it's not about yourself as the entity, as to what kind of name do you want. You are a public entity. The public has got a final say. You can't confine them. There is a process that needs to be followed, and you know that particular process. If you are not aware of the department is here, they will be able to assist you as to what must happen. On the issue of your performance, I'm looking here at your performance on 2013-14, 14-15, 15-16, and 16-17. I have not seen your annual performance for this previous year. It's only the third quarter. I'm not so sure whether you have ever met your performance target for this previous year. But I want to understand, why are you at 54% in your third quarter? And will you be able to meet your performance target by the end of your annual performance? The other issue relates to your over expenditure on the previous 2 years. What causes that? The last issue relates to
your issue with the AG. When you talk about defending, in a practical sense, what are you talking about? If you say, you don't hear me? AG, Auditor General, that relates to the audit fees. And you are saying they've sent you summons and you intend to defend, or you are defending them. In practical sense, if you say you are defending, what do you mean?